Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Well, this morning I wanted to chat about a subject, walking in, living by the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit or living by the Spirit. It's interesting, a few weeks ago, Julia shared in a young adults meeting about not conforming but being transformed. And as she shared, she gave a few tips on what that looked like. And one of the things she said at the end of the message, that one of the ways that helps that outwork is to walk in the Spirit. And as soon as she said it, I sat there immediately and said, but how does that look? What does that look like? And then she said, like about 5 seconds later, I'm not sure. Not that she wasn't sure how it looked. I can't tell you everything about how that looks like, but this is a bit of how it looks. And I sat there and I thought, how does that look? How does that look in practical terms for those who have heard what does walking in the Spirit look like? And I think sometimes in church we use things that you would call Christianese speak, like walking in the Spirit, and how does that look? Well, today I just wanted to quickly unpack what it is to walk in the Spirit, or a little bit about what it is to walk in the Spirit. Now, I don't know whether you remember, but a few weeks ago, Graham had two ladders on the platform, one ladder here, which I was sitting on, and another ladder here, which Aaron was sitting on, and one was the flesh, which was definitely Aaron, and one was the Spirit, which was me. Now, I felt the flesh for the next 4 weeks because I had numbness around my backside for a number of weeks. And so I was going to talk to Graham about some workers' compo, but it gradually went away. But if you remember that, he talked about the two ladders and he had a bridge in between and he sat on and he talked about the Spirit and the flesh. And so today, if we just have a look quickly, John, if we can put that up, if we can quickly look at Galatians 5, verse 16. And it says, one version says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. And another version, which is the Amplified, and I love this version, says, but I say, walk habitually in the Holy Spirit, seek him and be responsive to his guidance, and then you will certainly not carry out the sinful nature which responds impulsively without regard for God and his precepts. Now, if we continue to read through that scripture in Galatians, verse 19 says, well, verse 18 says that these two forces are constantly fighting each other. Verse 19 talks about when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. And it gives a list of things like sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures. And there's a list of things. And then it goes on to verse 22 and it says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. And it says, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. It says there is no law against these things. Now in a moment I just want to go through five quick things about what it is to walk in the Spirit or to live in the Spirit. But there's one thing I just want to say first, is that this walking in the Spirit all happened because Christ loved us first. Not because of anything we did, not because we're so fantastic, but it happened because he loved us first. And in that we can take a confidence to know that we can walk out these things. So I just wanted to say that first. Okay, let's go to number one. The first thing about living and walking in the Spirit is it began with a seed. Okay, and 1 Peter 1:23 says this, for you have been born again, that is reborn from above spiritually, transformed, renewed and set apart for his purpose, not of seed which is perishable, but from that which is imperishable and immortal, that is through the living and everlasting word of God. So what that means is when you make a decision to follow Christ, If we put it in a physical sense, God puts a seed inside of you, which is not a seed which dies off in this life. It is an eternal seed. And so when we accept Christ, we take this, and everything that is God is put in you. And in our lives, we outwork, and that outworks of us. You know, the scripture says we work out our salvation. It's in us, and then it works out of us in time. And it gives a very clear picture that it's not a doing thing on our part. We didn't put the seed in there. God put the seed in there. We accepted his salvation, and he put the seed in there. And he said, I've given you everything that you need to work that out for my eternal purpose. Okay, so that's the first thing. The second thing is, and I just want to go back a step a little bit in this scripture, that the reason God put a seed in us and transformed us and wants us to walk in the Spirit is, the second thing is, it's not just about me. It's for a purpose. So if we go just back one step, Galatians 5:13 says this. And, you know, we all love this about, you know, becoming a Christian, and, you know, this is really good. This is good about walking in the Spirit until it involves other people, isn't it? Because this is where the rubber hits the road. For you, my brothers, were called to freedom. Only do not let your freedom become an opportunity for the sinful nature, worldliness or selfishness, but through love serve and seek the best for one another. For the whole law concerning human relationships, I love the Amplified, concerning human relationships. So this is where the Christian walk outworks itself. The whole law concerning human relationships is fulfilled in one precept. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. That is, you shall have an unselfish concern for others. That's good, isn't it? An unselfish concern for others. And do things for their benefit, not your own. But if you bite and devour one another in bickering and strife, watch out that you, along with your entire fellowship, are not consumed by one another. So Paul says, before he goes into this is what living in the Spirit looks like, he says, it's about loving one another. These are the reasons why we live this way, because we need to love one another. And we know that Jesus said, by this will all men know that you are my disciples. So it's not through an amazing gift of the Spirit, of speaking in tongues or prophecy. All those things are fantastic. It's not through the amazing ability for someone to get up and preach or even to pray. But it's on the basis of how we love one another. People are drawn to God by how all those who are Christians here love one another. And at times, we have probably fallen a little bit short of that. And I would say there's plenty of people outside the walls of this church and outside the walls of many churches that would say, if that's how they behave, I don't want anything to do with that. And that's really sad. But it's really important that we love one another. So it's not just about us. Walking in the Spirit, it's about our growth, but it's about everyone else. Okay, so the third thing we see here is the fruit of the Spirit is not an achievement list. It's a fruit beginning with a seed. Galatians 5:1 says, so Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Romans 7:6 says, but now we have been released from the law, for we died to it and are no longer captive to its power. Now we can serve God, not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way of living in the Spirit. You know, in this passage in Galatians and in Galatians, Paul and Peter are both in the book of Galatians, and at one point in Galatians, Paul has a real go at Peter because Peter's basically ticking off all the things of the law when he's around the Jewish people who were under the law. And Paul says, why are you going back to the way you were? Why are you using a checklist? Why are you thinking that the Christian life is about all this amazing, you know, you can do this and you can do that, you know, I'm circumcised, so I'm in the faith. And Paul says, Peter, don't go back under that. Don't get caught up under the law. Don't allow your life to be an achievement list. Because when your life becomes an achievement list, you get proud. And you think you're fantastic. And you think, oh, I'm a good Christian because I do this and I do that. And we've got to take a step back and go, we love because he first loved us. And it's interesting that Ronnie had that word on stage, but one of the things that's been going over and over in my head this morning from when I got up was this: that God's love is not based on my obedience. My obedience is a great thing, but God loves every one of you here, even if you're not obedient. Now, I want you to hear that clearly. He loves you. He loves you regardless. Now, there are decisions you'll make in life that will have an impact in your life. But it's not you do things well, God loves you. You do things poorly, God doesn't love you. God loves you regardless. And yes, let me just stress it again. There can be a negative outworking in life if we make poor decisions. But God's love does not change. It doesn't change. So I'm not sure where you're at today. This could be for someone here who goes in and out of or has a strained relationship with God because when you make a mistake, you think God doesn't love you. Well, that's not the truth. God is love. He can't be anything but, because God is love. Now, His love works out in different ways, but he loves you regardless. And so the fruit of the Spirit, when we see that list, it's not an achievement list. It comes from a seed. So he's put that in us and it grows out. So it's not, you know, well, I'm a patient person, so I'm wonderful. So I'll tick that off today. So I've achieved what I need to achieve in the Christian life. No, the fruit of the Spirit is based on the seed that's in you that we take on and say, God, I want you to help me in this in every way. Okay, so number four. Expect to use the fruit of the Spirit, but with some help, not on your own. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit, the result of his presence within us, is love, unselfish concern for others, joy, inner peace, patience. Not the ability to wait, but how we act while waiting. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And verse 22 says in the New Living Translation, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. So who produces it? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. So it's not like there's a tree of fruit and so we think, okay, well, I'd like some gentleness. So there's a bit of fruit over there, so we go and pick it up. We go and pick up gentleness. Or we're needing a bit of self-control, so we go and do a bit of work and we run over here and we go, geez, I need some self-control. So I pick up self-control. That's not the way it works. The fruit of the Spirit is in us and it's working out of us. Now, some of those things might need a little bit of work in some of our lives, admittedly. I think Josh Gash said to me earlier today, he's a patient, very, very patient person. until he's got to wait for something. And it's kind of like I was thinking about this, how do you give a picture? I kind of do a bit of work around home and work at Bunnings. I work at Bunnings and I do a bit of work around home. And I thought about this like a master builder and an apprentice. And so when someone goes and say they're an apprentice builder, and when they go and they start their apprenticeship, the master builder says, here's a ticket. I want you to go down to Bunnings, Masters if you're second rate. And I want you to buy these tools. I want you to buy all these tools. And these are the tools I want you to buy. And they're your tools. Which is kind of like God says, when I plant that seed in you, this is what's going to come out. And so as an apprentice building a home, there's lots of different things to do in the home. And you know, some of it might be, you know, might be sanding, so we'll call that gentleness. A bit of love. A bit of peace. And so I've got 9 tools in the toolbox, and you know, you've got a chisel, and you know, you can make that represent whatever you represent. But when an apprentice goes and he starts building his home, there are going to be some things that he's not that great at and he's going to struggle with. He might be good with the hammer. He might be really good with the hammer. But he might struggle with the saw. And he could be good with the paintbrush, but he might be lousy in measuring. You're going to struggle as a builder if you're lousy in measuring, by the way. But what does he do if he doesn't know how to use it at the right time? He goes to the master builder and he says, I need some help with this. I need a hand with gentleness. Or with Josh, I need a hand with patience. There's 9 fruit of the Spirit. We can't do this on our own. And walking in living by the Spirit is God says he gave us the Holy Spirit as our helper, as a helper to us. And so sometimes we might go, you know what? I'm just no good at kindness. I'm just not a kind person. Well, you may not be good at it, but if you made a commitment to follow Christ, he says that it's in you. You may not think you're good at patience, but when you made a commitment to follow Christ, he said he put a seed in you of patience, and in time, it will grow out. You might think, I'm horrible at self-control. I lose it really quickly. But the master builder says, you might not be good at it now, but in time with my help, I'll help you out. Now, I know that when Nick gets up to speak, she normally, you know, brings Aaron into the picture and tells a story about her and Aaron. And so I'm going to take an opportunity here to tell a story about Nick and Aaron. And so I sat down after this, you know, moment I had where thinking, what does walking in the Spirit look like? And I sat down and I just had a chat in the office with Nick, and I don't know the details of the story, so it's not... But she was saying that, and this is probably very rare in their home, that they were probably having a bit of a disagreement at some point. And I can't imagine how that would happen. I've worked with Nick for 12 years and I can't imagine how that she would have a disagreement. But, you know, she said to me that we needed to take a little bit of time out, and I went for a walk. And when I went for a walk, God really spoke to me about how I handled that situation. And she said when she came back, her and Aaron spoke, and funnily enough, Aaron had said the same thing that God spoke to him about the situation. The Holy Spirit spoke to both of them, and when they came back together, they put the self off the throne, and we've heard Graham say it before, took the self off the throne, put the Holy Spirit on the throne, on that bridge between the two. And it came together that they admitted their faults and the relationship worked. That is what living and walking in the Spirit is about. You're not always going to get someone who's going to come back after you go for a walk and are guided by the Spirit who's going to be amicable with you. So what do you do then? Do you react then? Or do you say, no, I'm going to continue to walk in and live in the Spirit? Go to the Master Builder. He has put that stuff inside of you to grow out. I just want to finish with one thing. Number five, walking in the Spirit is an investor, not a gambler, like walking in the flesh is. I was listening to a message by Joyce Meyer one day, and she just mentioned this briefly, and I sat there and I mulled over what it meant. And I love that picture of the flesh, walking in the flesh, being a gambler. Because walking in the flesh is, you know, if you think of the fruit of the Spirit, you know, love, joy, peace, gentleness, self-control, sometimes we can lack control and win. But sometimes we can lack control and we can lose badly. And walking in the flesh is like that. It's like you might think you're winning, but you're not going to win. In the end, it's going to get whittled away. But you know what is awesome about walking in the Spirit? Walking in the Spirit is like an investor. You may not see the end result, but you just keep paying in. You just keep paying in. You just keep the self-control. You keep the gentleness. You may not see the result straight away, but it's an investment into your life and the life of others. You never know who's watching you. As a parent, you never know who's watching you. That could be an investment for life for them that goes beyond you. And so walking in the Spirit is an investor for the long term. And that seed that I talked about at the start is an eternal seed. It's not a seed for the now. It is for the now, but it's for eternity as well. And so Galatians 5:16-17 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But 17 says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do nothing, you do not do the things that you wish. And just before Graham comes up, those five things, will we put them up? Do you know we got them up? Awesome. So number one, it began with a seed. A seed, an eternal spiritual seed that's been planted inside of you. Secondly, the purpose of the seed is not about just about you. It's about the whole body. It's about everyone. It's about getting along with everyone. It's about loving one another. Thirdly, the fruit of the Spirit is not an achievement list. It's a seed. It's something God's put inside you that works out. Fourthly, expect to use the fruit of the Spirit and with some help. You cannot live the Christian life on your own. You have others around you that can help you and the Holy Spirit. You need to take time out to listen to the voice of the Spirit. One of the greatest things the enemy has done is make us so time poor. We need to take time to listen to God and what he's saying to us. And the last one is, it's an investor to walk in the Spirit, not a gambler. And this very last scripture, and I'll pray. Philippians 1 verse 6, it is my favourite scripture. I don't know where you're at today in your life. You might be really struggling in your Christian walk. You may not even be a Christian today. You might be very young in the faith and think, I've got so long to go. You might have been in the faith for years. But this is what I love. Paul says this, Philippians 1 verse 6. I'm convinced and confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will continue to perfect and complete it until the day of Christ Jesus, the time of his return. It's God's work in you. We walk with him in the Spirit to work that out. Let's pray. God, I just thank you for your life-changing word. I just thank you that you have begun a work in us. And Lord, no matter where we're at or where we think we've come up short, Lord, it's your work. And Father, I pray for anyone today who's struggling in their walk, who is struggling, say, I just cannot do this. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just fall upon them right now, that you would empower them right now to know that it is not a quick fix thing. This is a journey with you, God. And so, Lord, I pray that your love and your grace is on each and every person here. And we give you thanks for these things in Jesus' mighty and powerful name. And everyone said, Amen.